Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. And of course, you know me, I am your host, Demetrius Malbro. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Yasser Ali, who is the CEO of Polymer Data Security. Yasser, welcome to Data Protection Gumbo.
Thanks for having me. Really excited about this chat, Dimitri.
All right. So I brought you on to have a conversation around AI governance because artificial intelligence is all the hype right now. NVIDIA is blowing things out of the water with their GPUs. And you're just hearing all these conversations around AI and machine learning, right? So give us an update around Polymer. You know, what were you guys doing and some information about the company?
Yeah. So Polymer Data Security protects business applications, specifically business applications that are cloud hosted by companies like Salesforce, Microsoft, Google. So third-party apps, even within that cross-section. Most of the organizations now operate on the cloud. You're using Microsoft environments to create files using Microsoft 365, Word. Everything is on the cloud. Google, same equivalent. Then you have ticketing systems like Salesforce, Zendesk, Freshdesk to interact with your customers. Your organization might also be using GitHub and GitLab to be able to write code in some cases. And then you are definitely using Teams or Slack to correspond to each other within the organization. So your business applications is kind of the backbone of how your business operates. And we are a native tool that connects with a 10-minute install into these applications and monitors for data flows. Polymer understands what information is contained within your environment and then also be able to provide observability in terms of what your employees and your wider partner network is doing with your information set. If they're stealing, if there's exfiltration going on, like leakage, large amounts of kind of like risk that might be introduced with sensitive data that could be residing in maybe a folder that's open to the public, or one of your customers might send you a file containing their ID cards and those are just sitting out there in a ticketing system, nilly-willy. So Polymer is in the business of protecting that information, providing observability to businesses and their security teams and compliance teams.
Okay. Sounds like a much needed service. So I appreciate you creating something like that and continuing to build such a great and much needed organization, because data security is super important. We're continuing to hear about breaches almost on a daily basis, third party supply chain. I mean, the list goes on, ransomware, et cetera. So it's pretty critical out there in those digital streets, as I like to say. But let's talk about AI governance. And some people talk about doom and gloom and, you know, oh, AI is going to take over the world. But what's your ultimate view on AI as it just pertains overall to keeping data safe, Yasser?
You know, obviously, the ultimate risk is the Skynet, the Terminator, where the machines take over. And that is obviously, in the future, definitely a risk. Mm-hmm. When I kind of look at the current set of risks categories that are in front of us, one of the great frameworks is provided by OWASP, the Open Source Governance Committee out there, which has the top 10 LLM risks. And when you kind of look at that top 10 degrees of risk, half of them relate to data security. What information do you have and what can be misused either by data going into a model, a third-party model, or that data that you put in a model can be exposed to another person in another part of the world if they ask the question a little bit differently to the model. So risk of data leakage is obviously first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously related risks around how is the model trained? What type of information is the model spitting out? Are there biases in the model? Are they systematically discriminating or providing an answer that shades one way or the other? And those obviously are a little bit harder to measure. Those are another set of categories. Another set of category is deep fakes. And can the machine mimic a real individual. We have already seen like large amounts of fraud that's taking place. You can impersonate someone's voice. I've heard incidences where whole Zoom meetings are being set up where, except for that one person joining and the hacker on the other side, there might be three or four other people in the Zoom call,
yeah,
which are completely fake, and they are tricking you to send money somewhere. Fraud, those are obviously the real risks that come in. And so that's kind of the general category, obviously, and machines creating harm down the road, but that's a little bit further out.
Okay. Yeah, I heard about that whole Zoom situation, and I guess you would think people would be a lot smarter, right? If someone's trying to ask for money over Zoom or the telephone, and you don't quite know them, but I guess the deep fake aspect of it makes it seem like it is that person because they look like that person and they may sound like that person, but something is probably off, right? It's not quite setting, but I don't know. I'm not gonna laugh at people like that because you just never know. The technology is continuing to advance, and it's just gonna get more and more challenging to try to determine who's real and who's fake. But can you discuss some of the biggest challenges that companies face, especially when it pertains to maintaining data security, especially while implementing AI governance frameworks?
Yeah, so I would encourage, like, one, I'll just take folks down to the memory lane about a decade ago during cloud journeys. And when organizations were moving to the cloud, we had a similar seminal moment pop up. And I was working with banks at that point and helping up with master data management programs and even thinking about some of the cloud strategies. And what it really came down to, what were the sticking points of why some organizations were not moving to the cloud faster than others, was their understanding of what they contain, what information is there in the organization itself, classifying the information, tagging the information which is sensitive, which might be related to customers or patients, and what might be just intellectual property, and then who should have access to that information. Mm-hmm. That simple question made the journey for some organizations to be maybe a few years to multi-decade in some cases. It's still going on. So data, understanding the data classification, what do I own, who should have access to it, that ultimately is the crux of the matter when you think about data protection and when you think about AI, because what you're doing with when you're building an AI technology or you're leveraging a third-party AI, what information can my employees or my customers can be putting in this model? Mm-hmm. And is that information safe when it goes in the model? Can it come out through other ways? And if I'm building my own AI technology, let's say I hire a bunch of consultants to build me a chatbot for my customer success team or a help desk, what types of information should I train the model on? And do I know specifically if the model is pointing to from the raw data set that could not be misused at the prompt level once the model or the chatbot is live in the open? And those are the kind of the areas where our focus has been and I see to be that's actually the matter. And you can kind of like put a blinders on, just look at those two components. And I think you might have a much more intellectually honest conversation within the team.
And to me, it seems like right now, as far as the advancement of artificial intelligence and how fast things are moving, that we may not be able to wrap our hands around the whole security aspect of it. But what I am thinking is that, okay, if the bad guys are utilizing artificial intelligence to do what they're doing, the good guys, you know, I consider myself a good guy, and I'm sure you are a good guy as well, because you've built a company that is fighting the good fight around AI and governance and kind of some of the data security aspects of it. But what are you seeing just maybe in the near term around trying to keep and contain the data that's within large language models? And I know there's differing opinions around the type of data that you should have in your LLMs. Do you have a perspective on overall trying to keep that data clean and also not introducing data that you don't really want into your large language models?
It's still debatable. If your employee is putting something in ChatGPT, it's at risk. You have to assume that, obviously, because we've had incidences in the past where things have come out of ChatGPT from another site, from another part of the world, if, mm-hmm. with prompt kind of injections and other stuff, just like asking the question a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But there are two aspects to the AI question. One is, are you using ChatGPT? Are you using some other kind of third-party AI tool? Have you allowed your employees to start leveraging data? What we're seeing with our customers is there is at least a disclaimer that is put out to employees not to share sensitive data, customer data, or intellectual property within these models. Mm-hmm. That's obviously a cover your ass in some cases where it's like, don't be evil, but then there's no verification if that's actually happening, the verification of controls. And it's very hard to restrict employees from doing that. They can obviously go to the phone and put in the data there if they want, but as long as their laptop is somewhat controlled, maybe the risk does go away. And that's kind of the majority of the market is from the maturity side. That is the one and only way people are using AI right now in organizations. Mm-hmm. And we have seen some solutions, like we have a solution around verification of those controls at the prompt, what information is going in, but in real time, at least warn the user if they're putting something in which is sensitive or not. And then there's the other aspect of it, which is a slightly longer play, where organizations are thinking about, how do I start automating some of my tasks, maybe improving productivity, maybe even reducing my workforce and automate some of the more manual tasks in my environment, in my employee base, and use AI for that. And maybe I can train the engine to just do one thing and do it very well, or at least all this information that might be sitting in people's heads or the computers, I might be able to make it accessible through a model, a chatbot that could be created using my own data. And there are tools being developed to do that securely. We have something around that also to help organizations do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're thinking about what that strategy is going to be, you have to assume, to be safe, that whatever the model is pointing to can be made accessible, available, leakable from another part of the organization. So classifying information, at least have some basic sense of what data I want to put in my model, is very important to the extent that's possible through tools, or at least some sense of getting, maybe there's a customer folder or database you don't want to make available. So you do have to do that work up front rather than trying to do it later is my suggestion.
But what are some of the tools? You mentioned classifying the data. And I know it depends on what industry you're in. So financial services, healthcare, manufacturing. So there are different regulatory bodies and different compliance and regulations. I don't think AI really has a regulatory body, if I'm not mistaken. And there's still some debate about the ultimate regulation for AI and large language models, et cetera. But as far as a regulatory body around AI, does something like that exist? And if it does, then what is that? And then also the question is around, are there any easy ways or any tools or recommendations around classifying data?
So to answer your first part of the question, White House had an initiative that came out last year, which was like a super nuts, threw everything in the equation and try to govern it that way. There are regulatory frameworks, bodies like NIST, OWASP, CSA by the Center of, which is a federal kind of body. They've been putting out a lot of guidelines. There's no regulation per se, but we know that the federal government is very much leaning into this. Congressmen have been having hearings, senators are involved. So we can expect some things to evolve over time, but as we saw with GDPR, and EU was definitely ahead of the game with privacy back in the day, and with AI, they are doing the similar thing. And the US is, as usual, a little bit far behind from a regulatory perspective. Mm-hmm. We never saw CCPA, which was the privacy equivalent of California. In the US, that they were quite took off, but it finally is taking some shape now. But I think in the AI side of the equation, at least the guidelines are there. There's enough material out there to be not be stupid at the minimum, but and most more of these is being produced on a weekly basis. So definitely keeping an eye out just to keep up your skill set live in terms of what's out there. White House is making some moves. I think post-elections we'll see a bunch of stuff, whoever comes in office. Yeah. And in terms of the data classification piece, you know, there are two sets of data when you think about formats. One is a columnar data like Excel, like your rows and columns, which is called structured data sets. That's true. And then there is a unstructured data set. That's text, email, your documents, your messages, and so on and so forth. This is unstructured data, the transcript of this podcast here. So there is off-the-shelf, like open source kind of things available. If you have developers in your environment, in your team who can write Python code, there is open source technologies that can get you some level of understanding of what is contained in a file or document using natural language processing, which is still the tried and tested approach. It's not AI, it's like just reinforced learning of natural language processing, machine learning, which is basically the fundamental foundation of what AI does at the end. Slightly different approach technically, but I won't get into that right now. And obviously I'll make a pitch for our product. We do real-time data classification on documents and emails and at least stuff that's sitting in your applications within your environment. So, but I would kind of do my research. If you want to build your own, there's things available. And obviously we have something off the shelf to do that.
Yeah, so obviously a build your own, that would be pretty complex, right? You got to have the right developers to be able to do that. But I want to shift. Maybe the last question or two here is like, what are you seeing just on the hiring front? Because it's an interesting job market right now. Layoffs are still happening, and I know AI is hot. I see a lot of AI jobs come across the desk. But what are you seeing out there just from a hiring perspective? Where do you think it's headed? Is it trending up or is it trending down?
It's still hard to find good people. And people are still very nervous about the future, especially with elections. Hiring front is challenging, so to speak, even though the unemployment rate is low. I mean, I see the pain, to be honest. As enterprises, from an enterprise kind of the market, the buying cycle is nowhere close to what it used to be. It's like if people are not expanding budgets. They're right-sizing the same budget, maybe even cutting in some cases. And no, it's not easy. And for folks who are looking to move or want to kind of like keep up to date and might be worried or they might be in the market right now, I would say that like regularly using ChatGPT should be a list of something you do as just part of your keeping your skill set alive or up to date. Using AI tools, as many as you can get your hands on, being in front of them, asking prompts. I recommend this to college graduates. I'm recommending this to college students, high school students. My son is 13-year-old. I'm recommending it to him to use it. You cannot escape it. There is no like world where you will not be forced to using some sort of AI technology. And right now, the best thing to do is sitting at the prompt, having it ask questions, do things with it. I'm writing code by asking ChatGPT how to create some functions for me, copy pasting that, running it. I'm asking it to summarize some blogs that I can kind of like think about writing some more. Today I asked ChatGPT to interpret a dream I had a few days ago. So just something to keep your skill set alive and talk to a machine is super important. And in the job side, even putting that in your resume, I would highly recommend that.
Now that's interesting. You said you asked it to interpret a dream. How did it do with that? Did it do a good job?
Pretty well.
Or really?
Pretty well. Yeah, actually, surprisingly well. Yeah.
I may have to try that one day.
I provided the basic snapshot. It said provide whatever you can to the best of your ability, what you remember. And then I added a couple of other things in it, and they was able to like add in more details, all summarized very beautifully, labeled up with like headers and things like that. So no, these things are amazing. Perplexity is a search engine. Use that next to Google just to see what other search engines are doing. And it's superbly important to kind of like stay ahead of the game here.
All right. One final question. How do you stay ahead of the game? What's something that you do every day that you think gets you that one level up?
I mean, I'm definitely seeing what my peers are doing or listening or reading on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Believe it or not, Insta, I subscribe to so many different types of interesting feeds that's been great from just like a personal development side of the equation. Podcasts have been great. So I'm, you know, you guys are great. Like what you've done is amazing, Demetrius. Like podcasts like these are a great way to keep up to date. I feel that sometimes podcasts can summarize with a guest what you might not be able to get even by reading multiple different articles, and you might not even get access to that information with someone on the ground with the experience can provide. And I feel that to be a much valuable learning method for me over the years than trying to read articles in newspapers, to be honest, because those things always going to be at a high level, not go into details, and not maybe even get to kind of what you want to get out of that in many cases, kind of done for the generic public. So blogs is always great also. I find a lot of good blogs come out of LinkedIn and, you know, just links in show notes within podcasts alone have been great sources for me to kind of level set and go deeper into different topics.
All right. Closing remarks here. What would you like to say about AI governance that you think the audience needs to be aware of or needs to hear?
Understand what data you're transacting, what are you providing the model, and what is coming back, and just be aware in terms of, just don't be stupid in using sensitive data, basically is what it is. Like, you don't want to give out full information on a customer and a patient and ask a question related to that, or maybe copy paste the whole transaction data within the system and ask different things. So as a user, first and foremost, and maybe as someone who's a purveyor or someone responsible for your company data, just don't put it out where it could be accessible by people outside the organizations or more people than who should have access to it. Just very basic.
Right. Okay. Well, I do appreciate all the insight that you have brought, Yasser, here. Very informative, and we appreciate the best practices. And before I let everyone go, I do want to bring up the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group that we have out there. We just reached 26,000 people, so there's lots of backup, recovery, storage, cybersecurity professionals within that group, and we are having conversations similar to the ones that we have right here on Data Protection Gumbo. So Yasser, thank you so much for being a guest, and maybe we'll have to do this again in the future.
For sure. Let's see where AI goes. Thanks for having me, Dimitri. This is fun.